blessed. And so we'll see how the Lord goes with that. But I was teaching on healing, standing against cancer, and by His stripes we're healed. Now, at this time in my life, I'd experienced a lot of people dying. It was Christians, you know what I'm saying? I mean, they died and believing God, whatever the case might be. And so I come through this challenge in my walk with the Lord because I was like, well, they were good Christians and they died with cancer, you know? And then I'd be like, but the Word says this, and I was torn. You know, I was actually torn. And then in about that manner of that season that I was going, how many knows there will be seasons in your life that is going to come to give you, it will challenge you, but it's giving you opportunity to get the Word of God settled. It challenges are your opportunity to get the Word of God settled. Because once the Word of God is settled and you have faith in God based on that Word, well then God backs it up. I'm going to show you tonight. But anyways, I'd got it settled. Bless God, I don't care who it is. Praise the Lord. Somebody asked me one time later on when I got it settled, God's Word is first place and final authority in what I believe and what I'm going to preach. I'm going to preach God's Word. By Jesus' stripes you're healed. I'm going to give up on you when you don't have no breath left. That's when I'm going to drop the Word and say, it is finished. They finished their course. And until that, I don't care what your body looks like or their body looks like or their circumstances look like, I'm going to stand on and declare what God says. So I'd made up my mind, you know, that I'm not going to be wishy-washy in it. God began to teach me. He was doing it personally, not just to preach, to not believe the Word based on people's experience. Not believe based on what people experience. They could have not been believing God, I don't know. And didn't experience the promise of that. That don't negate the promise. That does not do away with the power of the promises of the Word of God because somebody don't receive them. But God would tell, He would tell me, you don't understand everything. He said, that's why I told you, lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge me. Now I've got to acknowledge God based on the Word of God. Right? Because the world will warp you up. Unrenewed-minded Christians will mess you up. You can be walking with God, you can be doing good, and get around unlearned people and talk you right out of what you were doing good with. That way you got to get away from those people and back over with God. Come on, somebody. Well, this lady, they had diagnosed her with cancer, and God had brought her into one of our services. That day I was particularly preaching on divine healing. And I brought up cancer, you know, and I said, every name has the mouth. Now I'm preaching based on the Word. And the Bible says, 1 Peter 2:24, it didn't say cancer's bigger than anything in the Bible, and it works up to this point. It says, by Jesus' stripes she was healed. Was already being done. And so to me, in my heart and in my mind, I believe that God sees her healed. I believe that God's desire is for her to lay hold of what He's already done. Jesus is not going and taking stripes again. Jesus is not going back to the whipping post again. Jesus has been to the whipping post. Jesus took those stripes. Jesus took my sorrows, my pains, my sicknesses, all my challenges that I'm going to go through, and He endured them on Himself, and then He bore up the power from God and gave it to me and you. And so that day, you know, I preached on it like God, and then they was telling me, you know, I knew that she was sick and all that, but I didn't know that they'd give her 3 or 4 or 5 months to live, whatever the case might have been. And so I began to preach in that service. I said, now go, don't make no plans to die. Don't make no plans. Well, right after the service, they was meeting up at the funeral home and picking out they went on after the service and picked out the casket and all of that. Just didn't pay no mind to what was said, although it was good news. Went on, died, and I'm sure in heaven. I don't know about all that. I believe they were Christians and prayed God. Hallelujah. And you know what? I thought to myself, man, I preached it. I believe to see it. And God said, but they got to receive it. The Bible says, all to all that receive him, not hear about him, right? To all that receive him, to them, to that bunch, he gives power to become the sons of God. Hallelujah. To them that receive him. Well, now, you know, I'm healed. I stayed in the bed most of Saturday. That didn't change it. Right? If I believe what I'm saying, if you believe what you're hearing, goodbye. Jesus told me in the scripture, he said, pay attention to what you hear. He said, for the measure that you use will be measured to you. You'll have what you use in it. He said, that's what'll operate for you. And we can have a head knowledge, but I believe God is going to write the words. I prayed it for years for myself. God, write your words in the tables of my heart, past my mind. Past my mind, God, I don't want it in my mind. I have knowledge of it there. But I want a revelation through your word in my spirit of me, of my victory, of my... And so today, I believe in that we are standing from a place of go forward. I know you're fighting battles. I know you're going through. I know that challenges are there. I know that circumstances are there. But you are standing from a place of victory. And victory is just right over the ridge. I was thinking about today, you know, where I got the saying, you know, you can't curse what God's blessed. I've been saying that over my life for 30 years. You can't curse me. I've been had witches chanting against this church. You can't curse it. You cannot curse what God has blessed unless you get like Gideon. And they say words and you fear. And then you run for your life after you done killed 450 of them. Right? Because I heard a word. Jezebel, I'm going to have your head just like you killed them. Well, Satan will come to you and he'll tell you, you know, you ain't been faithful in church. That's why you need to be faithful to church. Again, you don't have nothing anymore. Right? And even if you ain't been, still, just fight the condemnation because that's him trying to condemn you. Because you can't get faithful under condemnation. So you fight that off. That's why, you know, I always said it like this. The Lord told me, he said, the more obedient you are to me, the less advantage Satan has over you. The less tools he can use in your mind, the less he can use. That's why I don't commit adultery. Teresa gets my phone anytime she wants to, and I don't think, oh, my God, was I talking to somebody in there? Hope she don't find something. She can have it. Answer it all day, too, if you want to. Right? Well, what I'm saying is I made sure that there's nothing that the enemy can use on me right there to get my victory that I've already got. It's not that I tried to get victory so I wouldn't commit adultery anymore. I got born again and the victory came in me. And then I've had to choose to walk in it. Well, here comes the children of Israel. And Balaam, they come up to Noah and the children of Israel, and there's a bunch of them, Johnny. There's a bunch of them when they come up into Moab and by the Jordan River, and here the ungodly king is over there, and they started talking about it, and they started saying, "Whoa, man, there's a bunch of them. They gonna lick up everything. They ain't gonna be no food, man. It's just going to be. This is going to be terrible." That's what the enemy says about me and you, Monty. Good Lord, they're little, but man, when they're right. Oh, man, they put up a hard deal in Bluntsville or Susan Moore or wherever you're at, honey, honey. See, ain't the size of a man or a woman. It's the size of our God that's in us, that we believe is with us, that we believe because the Bible says it's for us. We believe he's not against us. We believe we are blessed to him. So we believe we can't be cursed, Right? We've been redeemed from being cursed. Galatians 3:13. Boy, I wish I could believe that. You can. You get it the same way everybody else gets it. You get in that Bible, Romans 10:17 says, faith like that comes by hearing it yourself. Hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Travis brought up a sermon that, now he's been listening to more, he's listened to more preaching the last 2 years than that boy has his whole life. He's been in it all his life. On his own. He's been around preaching his whole life. I've walked with Jesus Christ his whole life. But he ain't been a doer of the Word of God his whole life. He's been a going to churcher, interested in women days, you know, dating days. Is your legs tired? Your mind, you've been walking through my mind, running through my mind, pulling this garbage on the girls, you know. Been cut off from my Facebook before. I deleted him. I deleted my own son, you know. And it wasn't because I didn't love my son, Mac. It's just that I'm going to guard my heart. And if I need to separate myself like you have to, no matter who it is, to stay strong with the Lord and walk with Jesus, this, when it saved us, then that's what we do, right? We full of God, and our son starts posting stupid junk on Facebook. And then I half backslide and don't want to come back and preach to y'all again. I get rid of him. Right? There wasn't no problem till then. Right? I didn't have one in my living room. Then I thank God, Brad's seeing all that. Blah. So I got rid of it and I didn't see it no more. And I don't know if y'all seen it or not. None of my business. Right? Well, I'm giving you some advice here. I'm giving you some. It cleared my life up almost instantly. I didn't see his stupidity anymore. Oh, his tattoo stuff. He went through the tattoo years. I can tattoo you. I could get a tattoo gun. It might not look good, but we would do it. I ain't getting it. But he went through these years, you know, and I'd be like, man, I wish you'd leave his stuff alone. He's full of pride. He wants Weston all over him. Then comes and gives me scriptures. I'm making a point. I'm not just telling about, you've got your own grandkids you're raising, your own kids. They can't come between you and Jesus. Because you're the only means to Jesus they've got. More than likely. That world didn't get my son. Let God my heritage, praise the Lord. I stood on the scripture now. That's why I tell you that God's word is all the evidence that you need to know that Travis is still here today. Because he said, if you will serve me, if you will follow me and serve me, I will save your whole house. And I believe my grandkids are right on the way. Aiden, he done sang a song about Jesus made up out of his heart. Really good one. Just come up with it by himself. Now he's 7. You're an unbeliever too in that. I just upset some folk, and I really don't care. I have been believing that my children's children, before they got here, got it out of my Bible that my God said, don't wait till it gets here. Go ahead and start decreeing and declaring before they even get here. And I did. God told me to dream. And I told him I didn't want to dream. I'd got discouraged and got my eyes on things, Johnny, and no finances and this and that and trying to serve God. And seemed like every time I would get ahead, something would knock me back down below. You know, and I'm sitting and I'm tired. I'm weary. You know why? Because I'd got in the flesh. I'd got out of faith because faith does never wear out. Faith does not complain. If you're complaining about half of everything in your life, you're not in faith. Let it be a check. Put it on your refrigerator. Complaining is unbelief. And you'll go, oh, God, I'm in it every morning. Every morning. Well, let it be a reminder. Every morning, shut up and get that Bible out and say, this is the day. Write it right under it. Faith said, this is the day. I know I ain't got enough money to go to work. I know I ain't got enough to get it through the week. I know, but my God shall supply. Oh, there's how you get you more than enough. You come out and you begin to draw out of the wells of salvation, out of His kingdom. The Bible says that He is able to supply. He will supply all of our needs according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now, I got this out of Numbers chapter 23, 29 years ago. The statement that I say over my life and this church and the ministry that I've been in all these years, you cannot curse what God has blessed. And based on the Bible, you are blessed of the Lord if you give your heart to Jesus Christ. Now you have God's favor on your life. The Bible actually said He crowns you with favor. The Bible says he surrounds you with the favor like a shield. So therefore, I've always went around looking for good in every situation that is bad in my life. Looking for God to turn that thing around and cause it to bring a blessing into the situation somehow. That's where your challenge is. God is, I'm going to show you in a minute, God is not a man that He should, see, men lie, but God don't. God is not a man that He should lie. He's not like men. He don't lie. He said, or repent. He don't change His mind. You start ministry, God puts you in ministry, and you change your mind over circumstances. That's not like God. If you're going to start ministry, you believe God wants you to do ministry, then you find out in your heart by God, and then you just make plans on stuff coming up and trying to get your garden. Right? When I first started in ministry, I had a year and a half old boy. That wasn't too bad. How much trouble can you be? Then as I come on up, you know, and people comes into my life, into the ministry God's got. Then I come on up and kids get in there, and I'm like, man, if it wasn't for them, I could do this. God told me one time, He said, what has all of that you're thinking and complaining about got to do with what I told you to do? Then here come the grandkids. Ho! God, I'm too old for this. Got to come every Tuesday night, and I got to preach Wednesday night. What has that got to do with preaching? Right? All I'm saying is, here I am, and I'm like, glory to God. Then they wanted me to come spend the night last night in the hospital. I went to the hospital, and I told them, I said, I'm coming to spend the night in your motel tonight. One of the worst nights I ever had, man. Ain't nothing like being in the anointing. I was out among the anointing in that hospital room. Tormented by demons half the night. Got home, I told Teresa, she said, you miss off. Oh, yeah, nothing like home. She said, you said home, not me. I said, you are home. That house ain't home. That house is a wood building, right? Hallelujah. And then I sat laying there and I thought, glory to God, I got to preach tomorrow night. I can't go to sleep. I'm going to feel like I'm drunk tomorrow. I got to get up in the morning and the grandkids are there. I don't care what it is. Satan cannot curse you, cannot stop you, but if he can fill your mind with all these excuses, why you can't follow God, your head hurts, your toe hurts, you know, bear asper, whatever. I come off the anointing and Tylenol Saturday, Sunday. Because I wasn't gonna not fight for the kingdom, fight for my right to have what I've already been healed of, praise God, and then not go make my $1,000 or $2,000 Monday. That's not gonna happen. If I can go to it, surely I can come to church. Well, then when that enemy comes, he comes down there and he sends and Balak sends for Balaam. Listen, they knew that this was a mighty move of God. this ungodly king. He sent over there for Balaam. He sent over there. See, Satan knows God's people on this planet. He knows the one that knows their God. And they do exploits. They stand up in their living room with their homemakers and they say, I'm not standing idle. I've got a voice. I've got an arena in the spirit realm. I do it at work. I don't just mix myself all up with work like this is my living. No, my workplace is my seed producing place that gives me seed to produce a harvest of the kingdom in my life by my giving and by my sowing. I told the Lord, I said, you know what, Lord? I said, I'm just going to sow my whole paycheck this week. And I thought, man, are you stupid? That ain't my carnal mind. I ain't sowing my week. I ain't never sowed a week's paycheck. Not that I'd think of. And I thought, I'm just going to sow my whole week's paycheck. And I thought, man, what's Teresa going to say? What is she going to say? She believes I'm a man of God. That's what she's going to say. Don't doubt your husband. Don't doubt your wife unless you know they're honestly in the flesh. You know, don't doubt it. Let them do what God says. Well, he sends down there for Balaam. Balak sends for Balaam. And he sends down there and he comes up there. And he told him, he said, come in and let's build an altar. They did it and all of that, you know, and built an altar and all that. He told him, I want you to curse them so that I can fight against them and win. In other words, you can't curse what God's blessed. And God had blessed the children of Israel, right? So he knew that without them being cursed, that there's no way he can win against them. They were walking with God. People know if you're walking with God or not. Your kids knows it. Your co-workers knows it. You can have bumper sticker all over your and have an attitude up there and gripe about everything, complain about everything, and just sit there and do your own thing and don't lend a hand at work to help anybody do nothing and all of that. And that Christianity sucks to them people. Me and Travis come out of Lowe's the other day, and I'm in a hurry. I'm just always in a hurry. And him and Keith, they really in a hurry. They're in a hurry to get home. I'm like, God, we can't even. I mean, Travis, he's got 4 RPM when he leaves that job, and I'm hoping everything rides on the trailer to get back. Strapped. We come out, you know, and here's this old man with some 3/4 plywood. Rolled it out there, and he's got it, you know, and I'm looking at the old man, and I thought, look, God, how's he going to unload that ply? How's he going to load that plywood? And I thought, I know how he's going to load it. I'll load it. I'm going to go over and load that plywood. And so we detour over there, kind of, and then Travis, he picked up on what I was doing, you know, and we loaded the new plywood and went on. And you know what? You know one of the reasons I did that? I could care less. That guy probably, he didn't deserve it, probably. He probably ain't got no help because you don't pay nobody nothing. Or stench, I don't know. But the Bible tells me whatever good thing that I do, that I'll receive from the Lord. Don't be weary in well-doing, for in due season, Scotty's going to reap. I'm going to reap. Travis is going to reap. Hallelujah. And you know what? That one good thing, opportunity that I come, I don't know how much blessing, unless God shows me, came of it, but it does. Because the Scripture says it does. Well, he called him over there and he said, here, let me go. He said, I want you to curse them. And he's telling them, man, they're going to eat up everything. There's so many of them, all are whores, I guess, you know. And anyways, they got the altar built and all of that and got all the sacrifices and all that. And then Balaam told him, he said, I'm going to go out and see if God will meet me and see what he says. So he comes, and so while he was out, how many knows us looking unto Jesus is where that's at? I mean, he goes out and he says, hey, he said, the Lord put it in his mouth. He come back and he told him what the Lord said. He said, I asked you to come over here and curse them. He said, and all you can do is bless them. And he looked at him and he said, I can only do what God says. I can only say what God says. You know, well, if you go on back down right after that, then he leaves and then he sends another. He sends a bunch of them. Balak sends a bunch of them back to Balaam. And the Lord told him, he inquired the Lord, and the Lord said, don't go with them. He said, don't go with them. But he sends way more the second day or second trip, and he goes out there, making a point to this. He goes out, and the Lord told him, he said, don't go. But he loaded up his donkey anyway. God tells you don't change church. Right? Somebody got upset one time. They told somebody that got upset, and a pastor had told that person that was upset they'd kind of quit, and that pastor told them, you don't quit when you run into trouble. You meet trouble head on, and you don't quit. Well, that person didn't quit and got things straightened out, then run into another person, and because God helped that person do that, that person told the other one, you don't do that. You get it worked out. What happened? God gave that first one a word that kept them in the will of God. And then they took that same word and seen it work on somebody else and said, hey, this is the way the Lord works in this right here. Well, he goes out and he saddles his donkey up and he starts out and he's headed back to Balaam and to see him. And an angel got out in front of that donkey. And that donkey swerved off the path. And Balaam's beating the donkey, trying to get the donkey back on the path. Well, when he gets it turned in the right direction, there stood an angel in front of it again. So the donkey goes over and crushes his foot and hurts his foot into the side of the mountain or rock or something. And he beats it again. He beats that donkey and he finally gets it going in the right direction. There was the angel again. Then the donkey laid down on him. And he's beating the donkey, and the donkey asked him, he said, why are you doing this to me? The donkey talked like a man. God caused the donkey to talk. And the donkey asked him, he said, why are you beating me? What have I done for you to beat me like this? He said, if I had a staff, I'd kill you. He's talking to the donkey. And that's where I've always come up with the concept, if God can use a donkey, he can empower a donkey to speak words. There's nothing impossible with our God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, you know, he went back and he told him, he said, look, put that scripture up, Beth. I think it's Numbers 23. Yeah, got it up there. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, shall he not do it? Well, will he? Has he said he'll bless you going in and out, city to fill, fruit of your body? Has he said it? He's not a man that lies. He's not a man that lies. He said he watches over his word to perform what word? What word you get in your ear and in your heart? Hallelujah. You get the word of the Lord on it. Hallelujah. See, we only need about 1.45 million to get our property. I'm believing it's the property down here at Jack's. Now, I don't know where it is, but we've released our faith. Praise God. And I know this, that all we need is faith in God, that all things are possible that they're for those that believe. We're going to have an end time harvest, and we are the ones that are going to be the pillars in the thing, because we are number one. We are rooted and grounded in the Word of God. We are rooted in the faith of God. We know He is faithful. We know He will. We know He can. And we know that He's up to it. I told Travis the other day, I said, you know, I said, I've asked God, I said, for this ministry, I said, I've asked Him, and if God, He's not a man that He should lie, and if He put it in my heart, and my desires are His desires, and then I ask Him, then I just work toward it, He brings it to pass according to the Word of God. I told Travis, there's probably becoming a day in this ministry that God has put us in. I said that men and women won't work secular jobs. It'll be so big in the things that are going on till they have to come and solely work for Jesus Christ. I said, I didn't say this, but see, he's got us in training right now. He gives these things to faithful men. Not men that make excuses. Not men they get sick and they can't come preach. I'm not saying that, but that's not my first rodeo. But God, I learned that back down yonder in 1995 when I went on the streets so sick that if I'd have went to the hospital, they would have put me in there and I wasn't going. And I got healed that Friday night. I got healed and I realized, praise God, it's the anointing that destroys these yokes of bondage and sickness and disease and poverty and lack. I became a wealthy man in 1995 and didn't have no money till about 2000. You hear what I'm telling you? I simply refused to believe that God wasn't true to his word, regardless of no garage doors or no government check or no savings account or all of that. I would tell Teresa, because I don't pay in the maximum Social Security, and she ain't really never long-term worked a secular job. So, you know, I mean, her drawing Social Security cards on her own would be minimum $700, $800, whatever it is. You know, and all of that stuff. And I thought about it back in my 30s. And I thought, you know what, but God, we're not going to put our trust into 401k. They just coming out with nothing wrong with it. Every one of y'all need a savings account. Every Christian needs to be a good steward. Well, we can't afford to. Don't give me that. I don't care. Tell God you can't afford it. Tell him you got to have them 5 packs of Mountain Dews a week. Tell him you can't boil water. Put it in a bottle and save $2 at $1.50 a day on the Mountain Dew. Just tell him. I know we're getting quiet. But Mac, if I need $1,000, buddy, I need you to have it. I know you do, and I'd get it. If God wants me to pay your house off, and he told me back yonder in 1995, start a savings account when Teresa got on my nerves with that. God wants us to have a savings account. I wanted to tell her, get a job. What's wrong with you? What do you mean savings account? We ain't got no money left every week. And I'm thinking to myself, I wanted to tell her, what do you think? I'm stupid that God's telling you savings account and we can't afford it? He's asking us to do something that we can't do. That's what he does, Johnny. But I didn't say all of that. She'd say, well, God can't. Then here come a minister along, and he's talking about tithes and offerings in Malachi chapter 3, and he talked about a storehouse. And he said every Christian needs a storehouse. He said a savings account. And I thought, man, he sounds just like Teresa. Well, you know what? Praise God. Today, I mean, we've been saving for years. We paid funerals off. We paid cash for funerals that people didn't have the money. We pay cash for cars and give them away and all of that stuff, you know. And if I ain't got to say, honey, do you want you a new truck? You know, baby, if you do, the bank loves me. I told her not too long ago everything's jacking up a little on her truck and I have to start manufacturing stuff to make it work. She calls it whatever she wants to call it. I'm an engineer. You know, I mean, I can manufacture stuff. I can make stuff work that everybody has to find out where the buttons are, but it'll work. You know, and so I thought to myself, I went to looking at them and I said, this one's only this. It's only this, Lord. And used to, I'd be like, oh my God, they won't loan me that much. And the Lord said, see, he said, I have anointed you to teach my people how to prosper. I did not want that calling down there because I didn't know how to get it. I know I'm anointed. I know the word says it, but I can't figure it out. Well, I wasn't saving. One thing, I wasn't saving. And then when a $40 extra bill come up, we're strapped. We're strapped. I told Travis one time, I'm telling him, not so my son will be independent. No, he's depending on the Lord to help him be the head and not the tail, to get richer and richer as he goes, not to fly in an airplane and dump a stork with a bunch of bags of money. Right? You work the kingdom. You work the ways of the kingdom of God. And one way is having something. Those the small fish meal, they call it. What if they didn't have none? Jesus took it and multiplied it. It fed thousands. It had left over. Showing your giving will multiply. Hallelujah. Well, Travis went on and his truck blowed up. Praise God. And he'd been saving for 3 or 4 years. Called me in the hospital. Open heart surgery. He said, Dad, ain't been no money coming in the business. He said, I can get in my savings account. And I just simply told him, I said, don't touch it. God will come through for you. Don't go get your money out of savings. Believe God. I told him, don't go get your money out of savings. Believe God. Well, you know what? He didn't have to take any out of savings. He believed God. God got him through that. And then that was the first barrier of breaking his saving integrity that he conquered. Well, a few years goes down the road, his truck blows up, and he's got cash, Johnny. He's like, well, I want a nice one. I said, well, you know, it's your money. You've tithed and you've saved that money. And I think he paid $13,000, $14,000 cash at 28, 29, however old he is, you know. And I tell him all the time, I know he's 33 now, but he's still a baby. But I tell him all the time, you know, because I am where he ain't financially. I am where he ain't, you know. And I tell him all the time, you watched me, son. You watched me. See, your kids watch you more than you tell them. You can tell them what to do, but do it. You do what you show them how to do it. An example is way better than that preaching the word to them. Especially when they really get in and it's a reality and they got to make them choices. They're not confused about the choices of what I said and what I've done. And so anyhow... I tell him a lot. I tell him, time, you're my age, son. If you keep going the way you are, trusting God, saving, and going for a goal to be debt-free and all of that stuff, I said, you will be in a place where I'm at, and you won't even have to be working at 58 years old. Praise God, you will have more than enough. I said, because you've got 30 years on me. He's 30 years up. I was about his age when I started getting hold of the things that he has. Well, and I tell him and have told him, you can't curse what God has blessed. But now you can curse yourself. You can walk right out of it. But that's where faith comes in. Bible says in Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I tell God all the time, Lord, you daily load me up with benefits, even you are the God of my salvation. You daily load them up. If I don't see it today, God, it's because you loaded up and was working on it, and it'll show up tomorrow. I'm always looking for the increase of God. And people's like, well, you're just all about money. Just stay broke and miserable. I asked somebody in this church tonight, I said, you need any money? No, I'm good. I'm not all about money. I'm all about doing good like Jesus, hallelujah, and healing all that are sick and afflicted. You are too. That's the heart of God. And when you come to that place, then you come to a place of you're surrendered to the Lord and you're saying, God, not my will, your will be done. God, if you want me to cook, if you want me to write people just short little letters and something that I can do to encourage God. I mean, the Bible says if you'll water, you'll be watered. It didn't say when you felt good or when things are, you know, in your arena. just like my job. I've had to choose God over my job for 30 years. Some people say, well, you own your own business. No, you work for the public. You don't own your own business. You're managing other people's problems. And then when they call you, well, if you can't yet do it tomorrow, you're losing it. Well, tomorrow is when you don't make commitments to the Lord. You're losing it. What do? I always tell them, well, I'm sorry, won't happen tomorrow. I don't go through all the religious bit that some Christians think they're counted too worthy to be put under some kind of thing that would cause them to have to choose between God and that. They told me back when I started working, some of the Christian guys, you know, you can't be around people that cuss all the time. You just can't be. One guy told me, he said, I got to quit that godforsaken job. All they do is cuss God's name in vain. And I started thinking, man, all them heathens down there cussing my place too, and I'm trying to serve Jesus. And the Lord spoke to me, and he said, I've sent you among wolves. He said, I need you in there. He said, you can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthened you. So I was in amongst all them sinners that got to pray the prayer of faith over most of their families about 8 months later. Stood my ground that God would strengthen me and all of that stuff. And all of that was training for me and you guys today. And I boldly confess today that there can't nothing stop the will of God in your life if you don't let it. I don't care if you're destined to be wealthy, praise God, you might be the brokest one on the block right now. But you lay hold of that word and you ask God. I got in trouble one time real bad financially, and it was a lot of money. You know, it was a lot of money, some of it my part, mismanagement and all that stuff, you know, and wrong choices and all that. And I'm telling God, God, if you'll just get me the money, I will fly it out to California, wherever it was at. I'll fly it out there. I will fly it out there. God, if you'll just bring it in. I want it delivered right then from the major pressure that I was under. That's normal, right? God did not move that way. God wanted me to walk this road. I wish that we could just pray. And I mean just pray, and just miracle after miracle after miracle would happen from our finances to our homes and all of that. And I'm not saying it can't instantly. But most of the time it don't come that way. Most of the time it comes by walking with the Lord. We walk and live by faith. Most of the time, we walk in it out, and it begins to come. It begins to, and you know what I've noticed in that? It produces in my heart thanksgiving to God that way in a longer-term manner. Thanksgiving to God. I actually got to watch God work several different, it really wasn't miracles, it was just supernatural movings of God that delivered me from all of that I was under, praise God, after I turned from my thinking and bankrupt thinking and blah, blah, blah thinking, look, or tarot card readers. I don't turn to Ouija boards, and I don't turn to tarot cards, and I don't turn to them Chinese break it open and see what your future junk is. I don't turn to that stuff, that sorcery. I don't turn to all of those Ouija boards and tarot cards. I've had them read my future before. I don't turn to other gods that are not gods. I turn to the Word of God, hallelujah, that has my sure future in its hand. I don't turn to Christians to get, most of the time, to get, not evidence, what I'm trying to counsel. Because I don't know too many that can walk theirselves. Right? God told me one time, he said, I'm with you, Brother Scotty. I've God before, blah, blah, blah. And then abandoned me right when the real work started. And then come back later, and I'm like, nah, I think you're Mark. Y'all know about Mark in the Bible? I told Travis the other day, I said, there's many. I said that I've marked concerning this ministry. Why? Because they abandoned me. If Monty calls me up, hey, Brother Scotty, I'm broke down over here on the other side of Oneonta. Yeah, I'll be right there. And I go in there and go to bed. Gosh, Monty, he's just going to have to wait. It's just tough. I got to work tomorrow too. You know, you're going to have to understand. Believe God over there. Believe God over there. I told him I'm coming, right? And I just get a, you know, Monty may not ever say nothing. He probably wouldn't. If he's a man of God, he wouldn't. He might go home and tell April how stupid that was. But when it calmed down, and then he starts up in ministry, and he's like, now come over here, hey, brother, I want to help you. You'll be like, huh? Oh, Jesus, we're going to have to fast about this. I asked for help. God wanted him to help me, and he abandoned me. I told Travis in teaching him, just teaching him, I don't gossip about people. And I won't say nothing behind your back that I won't say to your face. And I shouldn't. I'm not two-faced. Right? If I don't like you, I'm not going to tell you. But if you ask me, I'm going to say, you got qualities that's not good. I don't like them. I got them you don't like. You don't like the way I wear my hair. But there's many that I've marked when it comes to praying for the church, when it comes to working in the ministry, there's many of them. Why? Because the Bible says for me to put my trust in an unfaithful man is like having a broke foot, a foot out of joint. Now, I've popped my sprained my ankle before, and I'd rather have my foot cut off, right? Hinder me big time, hinder me big time. And you need to be the same way. With certain folk in your life, I'm not talking about being anti-people. But Paul told Timothy, he said, commit these things to faithful men. And even God, God showed me, he said, look, he said, even though Balaam, I told him, don't go. He said, he didn't tell me the reason he was going, sit more after him. He said, I stopped it. He said, I stopped him. And I told the Lord, I said, God, you've shut doors before, and I didn't understand in my life, only to realize later on those doors would not have been your best. Those doors would have not have been good, although I was gung-ho to do your will. But he says here, God's not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. He has said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and it shall not make it good? Behold, I have received commandment to bless, and he has blessed, and I cannot reverse it. In other words, you need to get a picture of this right here. No matter how cursed it feels, what it looks like, God has pronounced blessing over his people, and you cannot reverse it. It cannot be reversed. I've had people, like I said, it was hard to preach here. It's hard to preach here when some of y'all give in to a wrong spirit and come to church. If you're greeting back there, mad at your girlfriend, Damien, you know, mad at your, it interferes with the anointing in this place. I've had to repent coming to church, got into it with Teresa before. Had to repent and say, God, I'm not going to be a Jonah in our church service today. Lord, I'm sorry that I'm in the wrong spirit. I'm not taking it to church. God, I'm going to go to church in a right spirit. I'm not going to be the reason people don't receive from you. You're in ministry. I mean, Teresa, she don't mean to. She wouldn't do it. She gets on my nerves. She acts like she runs the place sometimes. No, I mean, she's a get up and go. It's not a bad way. You know, it's a get up and go, get it done. I've heard her tell Monty before, Monty say, she'll say something, Monty or something. She's like, well, that's just what we do. Just get it done. And walk off. And I'm like, that might have been, should have been passed by me. You know, I mean, I might have been easier on Monty than that. And then I'd say something to her about it, and she'd say, well, what did you always teach me here? Well, the truck used to jump out of gear, you know, and it'd get hung in between gears, and she'd have to jump out, go up and hood up, 3-speed on the column, and I showed her how to get it unhung, and the springs were coming up through the back fender wall and all that, you know, the bed rusted out, done eat through, and she'd have to climb out there, 18, 19, 20 years old, and get the gears unstuck and take off again. She don't mention buying a new column. That still works. Well, that's the way we're geared, Monty. That's just the way we're geared. You know, we come up on, I come up on a problem in ministry. I come up in a problem not being able to save money. Pray God, I save money regardless of the problem. I come up on the problem, you know, and it's bigger than me and I need to borrow some money. I say, not today, devil. I've been delivered from borrowing money, but God, and come hell or high waters or what this family needs, if God can't bring it to me, but God, we don't need it. If God can't get it to me, then we don't need it. He said He'd supply all my needs. You got to get all that reasoning out. If God has need of something for me and you, He'll put it on our heart. We believe for it. And I'm believing that everybody in this church is going to walk in divine health. All of them did when they got up to mow up there by the Jordan River. There was not one sick or weak among them. But God, their journey was in the glory of God. Hallelujah. Just like Jesus is the glory of God in our life, in His healing ministry. Hallelujah. So God's word has to be your anchor in your faithfulness to the Lord. I can do all things. That should be one of your most favorite scriptures when you think you can't do nothing, when things are getting in your way to do the will of God. You need to go to that and say, I can do all things. Get your mind out of the way. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Grandkids, this week, and I'll close with this. I mean, I probably shouldn't even be here tonight. She asked me last night, she said, Mr. Weston, have you been exposed to COVID? And I looked at her and I said, not that I'm aware of. I started to say, I'm probably swimming in it right now. But we're not canceling this. You lied to... No, I didn't lie to her. I could have said I had COVID and I'd been lying. Right? I ain't no proof I got nothing. All I got's a bunch of little evidence. Hallelujah. Well, you know what? Then, you know, I could go on and say, well, I can't do the will of God because I'm wheezing. I can't do the will of God. I mean, I come around the corner getting ready to go down there, and I got stopped. I took some standbacks, and it made me drunk. And I'm going, and the grandkids are sitting on the couch, and they're like, Papa. And I'm trying to get up, you know, and I'm fixing to reach out and touch the floor, you know, and all of that stuff, you know. And I stood up, and I thought, man, I'm drunk. That's what it is. And I go over by the wall, and I said, I'll be all right in a minute. In Jesus' name, I'm not drunk. Well, I went on, drove. Went on, got my business done, right? And the Lord said, He said, that's what faith is. He said, faith goes against everything that is contrary in the natural, and it walks like it's done. And that's what Hebrews 11:1 says. Faith is your evidence of your finances. Faith is your evidence of your marriage. Faith is your... This kid's fixing to be in ministry big time. I've been wanting to rent it for 6 years. And I'm like, ha, hurry up. Hurry up, get in it. Then, you know, goes on, you know, and just like Travis and other ones, I used to think they're sitting there not listening to nothing. I'm like, good Lord, good Lord. I went in up there and they said, we want you to teach the youth. And I told them, I said, I'm not a youth teacher. And I said, but helps the ministry. You know, I said, whatever they need, Lord, I'm just going to do it. It's what you ought to do at your church. No, I'm an evangelist. / pastor, prophet, whatever. Teach the kids. Well, I go in there and they're all got their food and all that, you know. And I thought yesterday, I thought, that's what's wrong with this church. You know, I used to be more like God about this church. I used to have signs up there, no chewing gum, no candy. We're not at a buffet. We're not coming to Charlie B's. We're coming down here to God's house. And then I thought to myself, I thought, God, I used to require 3 services a week. We had 4 to be in ministry. I said, now I don't even require 2. Just lay out if you want to. I said, I taught them how to fight back then, Lord. I taught them, you know, it wasn't, I said, I thought they didn't take it as that I was trying to be, you know, overwhelming to them, but it gave them an incentive to fight for the right, to do the will of God, man. But we've seen miracles. Remember one night I went to church and we didn't have but a half a quarter of a tank of gas. So don't give me the violin playing nobody knows that we what troubles we got when we have a little hiccup. I got a year and a half old son that and it's dark when we get home, 9:30, 10 o'clock, and we ain't got enough gas. And dangerous times back then. You don't leave your wife and kid on the side of the road at night at 10 on the main road. But no, we're going to church. We go to church, we run out of gas on the way back. God shows up and shows us a bona fide miracle. And that car started with a dead battery and no gas. I'd done rocked it for 4 miles. And God, I laid my hands on that and I commanded. I was fixing to get out. And because of my time I've been spending with the Lord and my dedication to going to church and reading my Bible and renewing my mind and cutting people off that didn't believe in line with the Bible and they thought I didn't like them and blah, blah, blah. But all I was doing was guarding my heart. Because of that, the God that I had been serving in the time that I needed was able to bring that up and say, bless it. And I laid my hands on that dash and I commanded that car to start in the name of Jesus. I commanded it. And I turned that key over and it didn't even wind over and that car started. And Teresa looked at me and she said, go! I done sat there and run the battery out, pumping it. She'll know. And I was telling Travis the other day, I said, you know, I really didn't think too much about it back then. I said, because I'm going after God. I said, when you're really going after God, I said, you don't have as much battle with your mind. You know, I told him, I said, so it really wasn't an option. I said, but because of that, I saw a bona fide miracle from the Lord. I said, but the big thing, I said, is that's not what caused me to believe God, because I've seen that. I said, I seen God, and then I saw that what He said He would do, He would do. I said, it just made what I was believing real to me. Praise the Lord. Let's bow our heads. Father, we praise You.